Well, welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. And we have with us a very special guest today from Rochester, Indiana, great friend of the moon, and has done, well, you've played lead work with when Mark Dvorak was here, and you've done a spot on the radio show before, haven't you? You were playing in the Hootenanny.
I played in the Hootenanny, that's
right,
great.
Right.
I played some of that, and I've played a lot of open mics.
Mike Kenny, let's have a nice hand for Mike Kenny. So you're from, you were born in New Jersey?
Yep, I was born in Livingston, New Jersey. Well, we lived in Plainfield when I was born, then we moved to Livingston right away. So.
And then you ended up in Connecticut?
Uh-huh, right? My dad was transferred to a company up there, and then we moved up there into Trumbull, Connecticut, and then later to Litchfield.
Litchfield.
That means cemetery.
That's a fairly famous town, right? A lot. Of, I mean, that's 10,000, but a lot of famous people came from Litchfield.
Johnny Carson once got divorced there, so...
I think Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Yes, I live next door to her house.
Wow, that's cool.
At one point on North Street.
That's cool. A lot
Harriet
of
Beecher Stowe from there. My neighbor across the street was Dick Ebersol, who's the producer for NBC Sports.
Wow. So well, that's
and
cool.
His father was the president of the American Cancer Society for several years.
Yeah. And you learned to play guitar there?
I learned when I was 10 years old, probably. I took lessons in Torrington, Connecticut, so.
Yeah. And what kind of stuff were you playing when you first started?
A lot of folk music, some early rock and roll. We've got into, like to watch Hootenanny on TV. I watched the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and Rolling Stones. And
did I read in your bio? One of the first songs you played was a song was a real big favorite of mine called "Wooly Bully."
Yep, that was the first song I learned how to play. "Wooly Bully," Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love their name.
Yeah, I do too. And their get-ups, they wore the Pharaoh outfits.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Now, you got a... can you tell us a little bit about this song that you're going to play and how it got written?
Well, the song, it's called Accidents and Grace, and my wife and I were going up to South Bend and several years ago and went underneath the viaduct there and saw the homeless encampments there. And a lot of those people just looked like me, my friends, anybody, that could be anybody. And the realization that we're all about one medical emergency away from bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And just the things that started coming together, and that's how the song was born in my head.
Well, could you do it for us?
Yes, I certainly will. Be glad to. She's somebody's daughter, came from out of town. Now she stands on the corner, making the car slow down. Came here looking for a life in the art. She has talent to go far. She found out it takes talent and luck to be a star. Luck to be a star. Old soldier living under a bridge, wondering how it went wrong. Came home from the war feeling fine, but he could not settle down. With the nightmares came the whiskey. He lost his family and his home. And although he stopped fighting, his war is raging on. His war is raging on. Young man living in an alley, dreams of the life he had to leave. This isn't how he thought that he'd be using his degree. An only child, his parents are gone and a real bad luck streak. He caught pneumonia last winter and wound up on the street. Wound up on the street. in this land of plenty, we may shake our heads and say, it's a shame, such a shame, folks living that way. Sometimes just living can be no life at all. And there but for accidents and grace go us all, go us all. And sometimes just living can be no life at all. And there but for accidents and grace go us all, go us all. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. That is one powerful song.
Thank you, George.
One powerful song. And big-hearted song, too, thanks. I might add. That's just terrific. Now, you and Tanya and Howard Gibbs here, mm-hmm. you operate a night here. You actually have a night.
We host a jam night on the second Wednesday of every month. And we invite everybody to come on. You can come and listen. You can come and sing.
Now, let's say I wanted to play my Jew's harp. Would that be all right?
Yeah, bet.
Okay.
If you can play. The only thing we're kind of worried about is bagpipes.
Oh.
I mean, we let banjos in.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming to the Wild Rosemary Radio Hour.
Thank you for having me.
And before you go, will you come back sometime?
Yep, I sure will.
Okay, let's give Mike Kenny a beautiful
song. Thank you, everybody.
That beautiful song. Thank you so much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from our hometown to yours, the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour presents our very own audience participation quiz show, Shoot the Moon.
It don't matter to me how smart you are, maybe you're a big buffoon. You don't need to be quick on the draw, all you gotta do is shoot the moon. Shoot the moon, shoot the moon.
And now here's the host of Shoot the Moon, George Schricker.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here with you all, and I love this quiz show. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. And we have two contestants here who say they're willing. That's the important part. And Jennifer LaFoon, if she'd come up, and Wayne Pope, if he could come up, and come on right over to these mics. And nestle in, I'm going to ask you a few questions about yourself, and then we're going to play Shoot the Moon.
Prior to the show, audience members indicate their willingness to participate in Shoot the Moon by supplying their answers to the question, are you willing to participate in Shoot the Moon? From a collection of audience members answering in the affirmative, two contestants are selected and at random to play Shoot the Moon. Questions and format are generally stolen from every other game show ever devised and should therefore be familiar enough that I don't have to explain them anymore.
All right, so now the Jennifer LaFoon.
Yes.
You live right here in Plymouth?
Out on 17.
Out on 17. Mm-hmm. And did you grow up here?
Nope, I lived in Osceola until I was 21.
And what brought you here?
My husband.
Oh, okay.
Boy, love, true love.
We're hearing a lot of those stories today. Well, it's so nice to have you here. And what is it that you do in Plymouth then?
Well, I work for an attorney. That's how I, sustain myself.
Well, but that's good.
But I have a lot of friends who I play music with and have enjoyable times with. And
you play art. You play music with your husband, right?
Yes, I do. Lane plays the banjo and the guitar and the baran and the bouzouki, and I try and keep up with him on the guitar and fiddle and flute.
And you're interested in some older tunes. I've heard you do some various kinds of things. Could you name a few of those tunes that you do?
Well, we like to do Sailor's Hornpipe and Joys of Quebec and lots of old ragtime tunes.
All right. Well, that's great. Yeah. We're going to start with you, and then I'm going to interview Wayne. So I want you to just pick a question, and I'm going to ask you a question off of the board. And you see we have four wonderful categories. We have Whose Ear Anyway?
Okay.
Song and Dance, a good pitch to hit, and That's How Legends Are Made. So you can pick whichever one you'd like.
Well, I'll go with Song and Dance. Hopefully I'll know something.
Song and Dance. Okay, Song and Dance. All right. John Baylor's family band is called Baylor's Golden Age Band, and it plays every year at the Indiana Fiddlers Gathering, which is located in the town of...
Battleground, Indiana.
She knew that without me saying it, but that's not the question.
Oh, darn, darn, darn. Okay.
And many of us know from Indiana history that in 1811, William Henry Harrison defeated a surprise attack by Shawnee Indians that were led by Tecumseh's brother, who was blind in one eye, yet he was known for his great visions. Another name for a town very close, sometimes they used to call Battleground and this town, they used to name them simultaneously, but a little hop, skip, and a jump, there is another town that has something to do with this experience. So I'm going to ask you, was it A, Shawnee Village, B, Second Sight, or C, Prophetstown?
That would be C, Prophetstown.
Give her a big hand. That's very good. You know, I have very fond memories. There was a Methodist camp there, and I grew up in the Methodist church, and we'd go to camp, and we'd camp right on top of what was called Prophet's Rock, and that was a great outcropping that overlooked the battlefield, sort of, from a distance, and it was said that the prophet was chanting during the battle and on this rock. And so it was a little spooky to go up there and camp, but we had, you know, we had our songs, Do Lord and,
oh yeah,
and, you know, yeah. And it kind of kept us together, you know, yeah. But I remember, I have very fond memories from that. Hmm. Okay, Wayne Pope, you are from where originally?
Well, I was an Army child, so my father was stationed all over.
Oh, well.
And every 2 or 3 years, we would get a new assignment for him. And we lived in Alaska and Anchorage, and then for Fort Bliss, Texas, for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And way up in the coal district of Maine, near the Canadian border, on Loring Air Force Base.
Now, you're kind of an artist yourself. You've read a poem on our open mic stage. It was a beautiful poem about barns. But you also, don't you take photographs?
I love to take photographs. My hobby. My dad influenced me when I was a young boy. He taught me that family memories are important and capture those slices of life.
Yeah.
Whenever you can. So I try to make a point of carrying my camera wherever I can.
Well, that's good. I'd love to see some of your photographs. I've seen one of them of an old barn. So I love that very much. So we have three categories left. Who's Here Anyway, A Good Pitch to Hit, and That's How Legends Are Made. Would you like to choose one of them?
I would be interested in How Legends Are Made.
How Legends Are Made. Okay. Yes. That's very good. And this is about John Baylor's string band, his bluegrass band, which is very unique because they play all kinds of they play bluegrass, I think, to Led Zeppelin and various kinds of things. It's really interesting. This is a question about how did John Baylor's Stampede String Band get its name? A, was it from playing in a rowdy bar that caught on fire during the band's first performance, causing a raucous stampede? B, was it from the whole group's love of soccer and their personal knowledge of the tragic Hillsborough Stampede, which happened in 1989 when 96 people perished in a soccer stadium? Or C, was it the memory of a band member who was actually trapped in a stampede?
Hmm. I would probably go with selection A.
A?
The first one.
Playing in a rowdy bar? I'm sorry, it was I don't know how you'd know this, but it was the memory of a band member, Aaron Nicely, who was actually trapped in a stampede of horses.
Did he make it out?
And he made it out, yes. That's he made it out.
Good.
And I was interested to see that animals that stampede, especially cattle, are less likely to do so if they've eaten, and they spread out in smaller groups to digest. But I was further interested in this fact. Yes. Oh.
I'm supposed to remind you of the score, George.
Oh, what is the score?
I'm trying to signal you that I'm ready to do that.
Okay, you go right ahead.
It's halftime of Shoot the Moon, and the score is 1-0.
Okay. I want to get back to stampedes, though. So to further reduce the risk of stampedes, and this is going to interest you, John Baylor, cowboys sing or whistle to their herds. And maybe that's how Western Swing was born. I'm not sure. Anyway, back to you, Jenny.
Okay.
Okay, this is exciting. We have two categories left. A good pitch to hit, or whose ear anyway? Whose ear anyway? Or lost in the Indiana cornfields.
Oh.
Okay. Now we can finally get to the question we've been waiting for.
The one I almost gave away.
Where did John Baylor teach high school? It happens to be the same school that our announcer, Sid Schroyer, attended. For how many years of your high school?
All four, George.
All four.
Sort of 3.5, but really four.
Wow.
He must have been smart.
That's pretty impressive. Okay, so was it Northern High School in Brownsburg, Indiana, or B, Eastern High School in Greentown, Indiana, or C, Western High School in Readville, Indiana?
They're all very colorful towns.
Yes. Well, they're colorful people.
name only, George.
I like the color green best of all, and that's the only reason I'm going to say that one. Am I right?
Well, Greentown is correct. Okay. Okay, you're stuck with another hard question, Wayne.
Okay.
And it's a good pitch to hit, and here it comes. John Baylor is actively involved in shape note singing, also called music of the sacred harp. What is shaped note singing? A, is it a style of singing in which participants take the shape of the notes they are singing with their bodies while bobbing up and down as the pitches change? B, a style of spiritual singing in which the group singing shapes itself into a series of formations, a la the Ohio State Marching Band, which often spells out the difficult word Ohio, in order to please the Lord. Or C, a full voice singing tradition in which the notes on the staff have different shapes to help singers find pitches within major and minor scales without the use of more complex information found in key signatures on the staff.
I'll try A.
A style of singing in which participants take the shape of the notes? I'm sorry, no, that's not correct. No, it's a full voice singing tradition. Shape notes are a musical notation designed to facilitate congregational and community singing. The notation, introduced in 1801, became a popular teaching device in American singing schools. Wayne, you had the toughest questions on the quiz, so it's okay, but what's the final score here?
Final score, George, Jenny 2, Wayne 0.
And what does Jenny get for her winning?
Nothing, George.
Thank you.
It don't matter to me how smart you are. Maybe you're a big buffoon. You don't need to be quick on the draw. All you gotta do is shoot the moon. Shoot the moon. Shoot the moon.
Well, coming up next, we have John Baylor. John Baylor doing two more songs with us and telling us a little bit more about his songwriting prowess.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, the Bruce G. and Mary A. Robert Family Foundation, Nancy and Dan Schmelter, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.